Welcome to the Robert Scott Bell Show. If you would like to participate, you can call Robert at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. And now, it's time to wake up! Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Your healthy replacement for the old media kicks off every day at noon here on the Natural News Radio Network. Robert Scott Bell rocking it right out of the park here as we talk a little political healing with my good friend Liam Sheff. Kicking it off in studio today. And we, you know, Liam and I have been talking a lot about, you know, the observations of what we're seeing in the old media, you know, as far as what happened in Iowa, what happened with the straw poll, what happened with the debate. You got a Michelle Bachmann and you got a Ron Paul neck and neck, basically statistically tied for first place. But when they report on it afterwards in the old media now, and that includes CNN, and that includes Fox, etc., they report Michelle Bachmann, the winner, is now head-to-head with Rick Perry, who got a few hundred write-in votes and who just entered the race after, I guess, being ordered by the Bilderberg Group earlier in the year to participate. And we know that Mike Adams is doing a big expose. It's coming out in a few days. I'm anticipating, excited about what's going to be revealed in that about the big pharma candidate. Rick Perry, if you don't know, he's the governor of Texas, a big friend of big pharma, along with his wife. If you're not certain about what he did by fiat, by executive order in Texas, you've got to hear this to get a sense of where this guy is. This is Governor Rick Perry. This is actually an expose that was done in 2007 as he defends the HPV shot for all sixth grade girls before being allowed into prison. I mean, public school in Texas. And he'll now backtrack on that, as you'll hear later. But for right now, I'll get a sense of where he was, all of his heart into this. This is an expose on Rick Perry coming from the local television news. It was News 4 on an NBC affiliate there in Texas.
Governor Rick Perry tonight defending his plan requiring girls to get vaccinated for HPV, the virus linked to cervical cancer. The governor was at the Cancer Therapy and Research Center this afternoon. Earlier this month, he ordered girls entering the sixth grade to get the vaccine starting in 2008.
I do believe with all my heart that it was the right decision.
Critics say that vaccine protects against a sexually transmitted disease, so it shouldn't be mandated. Today, Merck & Company, which makes the vaccine, decided not to lobby other states to buy it.
This is so wrong on so many levels, I can hardly begin to tell you. But with all his heart, Rick Perry believes he made the right decision by doing an executive order to mandate this shot for all little girls in Texas. Now, it's so wrong on so many levels that, you know, I have Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist, back with me to tear it apart. Because, you know, remember earlier in the year, Liam, you and I talked about this online, the whole scam that is the so-called HPV causation hypothesis of cervical cancer. I mean, this is the whole basis for which Merck came out with Gardasil and GSK came out with Cervarix. It's based on science that is not science. There is no incontrovertible evidence. There's not even it's not even there. There's no causal link officially with the HPV, the human papillomavirus, and the cervical cancer later in life, unless you use another three-letter not a word, I guess an acronym, PCR, for polymer chain reaction test, which we also covered earlier in the year, Liam. I mean, I don't want to pull my hair out covering this Rick Perry story, but I think it's an important one because so many politicians have bought hook, line, and sinker the the big pharma approach to prevention of disease, and then they use the fiat of the power of the executive branch of government on the federal level and the state level. And this is evidence that we've got basically a big pharma tool or big pharma stooge now running for president, going head-to-head with Michelle Bachmann, a Turner Overdrive. Where's Ron Paul in the equation? Never to be mentioned.
I don't like this Rick Perry character. I want him to leave his hands off my daughters. Or ours daughters.
That was Clint Eastwood. Did I get it right?
I don't know. I don't like this Rick Perry character. I want him to leave his hands off the daughters of Americans. Wait a second. I believe in my heart that injecting these little girls with the drug that I wouldn't inject on a scurvy dog is the right thing to do. you can leave the donation over here. Thank you, Merck. Thanks very much. And yes, I will be running for president. Why do you call him the Bilderberg candidate?
Well, earlier in the year, he was summoned, evidently, to go to this so-called Bilderberg meeting. We joke about them called the Bilderbergers, the cheeseburgers, whatever you want. But, I mean, it's one of the secret societies that basically operates behind closed doors and has all of these so-called secret government world leaders. Some are part of the established government from all countries, in fact, some of them participate. In fact, many, there are congressmen on it, there are senators on it, many presidents have been part of it. And yet it answers to no one. It's not elected, and it drives a lot of policy similar to what's known as the Trilateral Commission in their own right, where they get together and kind of establish and divide up territories of planet Earth. Okay, you get that one, we'll get that one, the domino will fall here, we'll do that. You declare war here, we'll do that. And, you know, Rick Perry's been saying, no, I'm not running for president, I'm not running for president. He gets back from that thing, and he says, Liam, maybe, right?
Oh, twist my arm.
Yes, twist my arm. And then, you know, we have this Iowa caucus coming up. Of course, the straw poll's the first thing. And you've got two supposed Tea Party candidates, supposedly. Now, I don't think Michelle Bachmann is legitimate. She's a poser in this regard. I mean, she's a former IRS lawyer going after taxpayers, basically. And that doesn't bode well for a Tea Party candidate. But you've got Ron Paul, who's been at it since yesterday. It was 40 years, the anniversary. You know that? Yesterday, 40-year anniversary.
Wow.
When Nixon closed the window of the so-called gold standard, shut it down. No more. Originally, of course, the Coinage Act of 1792, which has never been repealed, overturned, disavowed by Congress to, you know, basically say, hey, we're overturning that Coinage Act. That's a little pesky thing. So
it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. But, in 1913, when they passed the Federal Reserve Act, again, they didn't overturn the 1792 Coinage Act. Well, that's where it defined a dollar, very specifically. And Congressman Ron Paul asked very pointed questions about, can you define a dollar to all the Fed people? They won't define it. They refuse to define. Oh, we don't know. We don't see it. It's in there. And then you get Nixon in 71 saying, no more. We cannot. We printed up too much. There's no way. You'll take all the gold in Fort Knox. If there's any there, it's gone. Unless we shut this window down. And that is what happened. That's what led to, I think there was a, I saw a headline somewhere that said, in 1971, August 15th, Richard Nixon created Ron Paul. That's where it came out. And so at this point, you've got the Rick Perry candidate coming through the Bilderberg saying, no, you're our guy. You're a white knight. You're going to co-opt the message of Ron Paul and anybody else who seemingly plays well at the Tea Party gatherings. And when he was asked yesterday, hey, Rick Perry, what kind of guy are you? Well, I'm a combination of Michelle Bachmann and Ron Paul, the 1-2 finishers in Iowa. I couldn't believe it. It's like, okay, could you be a little subtle, a little even?
I want to tell everybody in favor of the peanut butter candidate and also you people in favor of the chocolate candidate that I combine both tasty flavors in one candidate. Make no mistake, I am the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup candidate, and you can vote for me.
Love me, love me.
I'm Rick Perry. I jumped over a hoop or whatever. The Gardasil thing, you know, when he says, I believed in my heart it was the right thing to inject your daughters with this terrible drug. He didn't say I believe in my mind or even I read the data.
Yeah.
The data on this stuff is absurd. I think that Firstly, they invent viruses by doing a technology called PCR. You can magnify nothing, and it can tell you that you have an elephant in front of you, and it's PCR. Hey, the fastest way to turn a carrot into a seal or vice versa is to do PCR on it. What does it measure? Nobody knows. You can read through the medical studies on it. It's always coming up positive and negative in the same sample. It's like duplicating a piece of a toenail that you found on a carpet and telling you know, oh, well, that's definitely from Louis the 15th, not the 14th, but the 15th, when he was 27. Exactly. No, it's not. You don't know what it is. That's PCR. It's a junk technology, or it's a technology that should be used very, very, very cautiously in laboratory experiments under very strict circumstances, but not to tell you what a particular virus is. So that's PCR with the HPV.
And just a point of review, Liam, we go back to how did they make the claim that somehow the human papillomavirus was responsible for this cervical cancer 20 or 30 years later after this exposure? You mentioned PCR. I mean, literally, they're going to go to the cervix of a woman. If they find cancerous lesions of any kind, they'll scrape it. Then they'll analyze it by that very method where they can find whatever the heck they want to find. They'll claim it. Now, if they have to use that method, which means that there are fragments of what? Like finding a microbe on a needle in a haystack the size of planet Earth. And they say that caused it. Well, by any stretch of real science, if you want to call it virology, if it is real science, Liam, you can let me know. In a viral so-called infection, they would have to say there's loads of this stuff happening, and it's replicating out of control, and it's doing great damage. But, of course, to have to go to the levels or stoop down to the levels that they reach to even pretend that it's there and then claim it's the cause – It stretches credibility. That's an understatement. I mean, it's the height of scientific lunacy, in my opinion.
It strains credulity. As they say on 60 Minutes, it strains credulity. What they've done then is they'll take like a sample of a million women. They'll say, well, we looked at medical records. So they didn't look at medical records of a million women, but they'll say they did. So really, they'll just take a handful and they'll multiply it up. And they'll say, well, out of this million, 1,600 eventually will get cervical cancer if, hold on, they never go for any kind of checkup, never have any kind of gynecological exam at all, never have a pap smear, and are also, well, we left this out, drug abusing prostitutes over the age of 50. But don't worry about that.
Yeah, we don't want you to pay attention to that one.
Mostly, let's inject all the children, all the 12-year-olds, against the most, how common is the HPV? Oh, you're soaking in it. Everybody's got HPV virus.
That's an important consideration that most people don't realize that when they say, oh, it's a sexually transmitted disease, only if you're, literally, these things are endemic to the whole of the population, just about. And another fact that even the doctors will acknowledge, that in most cases, if it's detected, they acknowledge that it pretty much clears of its own accord in a basically otherwise healthy child, adult, or otherwise. And you come back to the 50-year-old drug-abusing prostitutes, and you say, well, that isn't the definition of health that I would adopt. But yet they fail to mention that was the confounding factor, not even co-factor. These people are unhealthy, diseased, deficient, and toxic, and that would result in the abnormal tissue of any female going through that, much less a male dealing with any kind of what we call pathogenic assault, or someone would say virological. Again, there's other issues there we can get into.
But the numbers they get are absurd. Then they'll tell you that it's the cause, but only in 0.016% of people who even have the so-called deadly virus that causes the cervical cancer that you get, unless, of course, you're in the 99.999% of the people who have the virus. What?
Yeah.
That's their science. So Rick Perry believes in his heart that it's right to vaccinate 100% of 12-year-olds for something that doesn't cause a problem. And the mainstream code is 99.84% of people who have the virus. Please. I want a second opinion.
Yeah. Well, also, the gals at SaneVax have done a bang-up job in getting the stats out there for everybody to review. The Gardasil, which is the Merck vaccine here, has been associated with 97 fatalities since the FDA approved the vaccine in 2006. 97 kids done, dead, because of that vaccine. And when we talk about the protecting women against cervical cancer, you won't know if it even works for another 20, 25 years, which, as we know, it's absurd. It can't work because the causation hypothesis is wrong to begin with. It's a completely fabricated out of thin air market for a vaccine that has no place in the universe, much less in Rick Perry's executive order in Texas.
Maybe they'll start vaccinating people against lung cancer. You know, maybe they'll start vaccinating non-smokers as well as heavy smokers. I mean, it's sort of that principle. Would you say that people who are over 60 who've been smoking their entire lives and eventually get some sort of emphysema or lung cancer, because you can find by doing PCR an indication of a protein which some people claim is indicative of a virus, if you can jump down that rabbit hole, that's it. That's the some people claim that this protein or this bit of DNA that we've pulled out with PCR is indicative. Therefore, we have to vaccinate all three-year-olds against this deadly the virus that causes lung cancer in smokers over the age of 70.
Right. Don't mention the smokers. That's in small fine print. Listen, we got to take a break. Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist, is my guest in studio. We're having a great time together chatting about all the news of the day and putting perspective on it. This really wasn't political healing. We went into biology. We went into immunology. Oh my gosh, vaccinology as well. We've got a little bit more to discuss on the Gardasil shot and Rick Perry and other stories here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, robertscottbell.com. I've got links also to liamsheff.com so you can check his website out with all the wonderful creative things he does. And, of course, the phone number, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Coming right back after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as Sovereign Silver and Nordic Naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
A vote for Rick Perry is a vote for a syringe in every baby basket. This is the kind of stuff we're dealing with candidates for president, probably for Congress, for Senate, everywhere around planet Earth, or certainly here in the United States. And I'm thinking about, I was a pincushion. Liam, you interviewed me last week a little bit. We talked about my story about being a pincushion with vaccines and allergy shots and everything else. I'm tired of these children being pincushions. Listen to this, Liam. This is the same vax. They've really reviewed some of these stories about the reports on Gardasil. And we talked about the deaths, 97 fatalities. But this is the other thing about efficacy. Merck has serious memory loss when it comes to mentioning the important fact that Gardasil has been shown to fail to protect. The very thing it's supposed to do. Fail to protect women against cervical cancer. And I was saying, we'll wait 20 years. Maybe we don't have to wait 20 years. Reports on the SaneVax website show that 378 women have had abnormal pap smear or smear test, and 41 women have been diagnosed with cervical cancer after they received the Gardasil vaccination. But never mind you that. We can, yeah, they can kill the women, they can kill the children, the very disease can still be manifesting in it, and it's still going to be something that, in his heart, Rick Perry feels is the right thing to do.
I did not have sex with that woman. In my heart, I know that is true. If you say, in my heart, can you get away with any lie after that? In my heart, I knew it was right to drop the bomb on that. If you,
right.
Is in my heart like saying, not in my mind, I didn't use critical thinking, I didn't ask anybody about it, I didn't review it, I didn't care about the facts, I just prayed to whatever I prayed to, and deep in my heart, after Merck paid me off, after I was given an endorsement by the Bilderberg Group,
yes.
Then I knew it was then and only then.
Liam, in my heart, I knew that the 22,194 adverse reactions to the HPV shots were worth it. In my heart, I knew they were worth it. This is something. We talk a lot about heart and mind, intelligence and questioning and getting beyond propaganda. But, you know, even being heartfelt, it should mean something. But here's a politician using that. In my heart, I didn't mean to harm those girls, but I did the executive order because it was with the best of intentions, Liam.
Your Honor, in my heart, I knew that that traffic light wanted to be green, and I knew that my alcohol level wanted to be below 0.0. I just don't know. I've seen so many politicians. I'm going to start using this line. In my heart, I mean, I'm just going to say this to if I ever get pulled over, if there's any illegal, Your Honor, in my heart, whatever it is that you want to hear, that led, it just means that he wants to run. He knows that people are going to be angry with him because he's killed people. You know, if Robert Scott Bell came out against vaccinations and one child in Eastern Monrovia died of hepatitis and you said, I'm not for the HPV vaccine, they would say that you were a murderer because you are against
a vaccine denialist.
You're a vaccine denialist.
Yes.
And then the one child who died, never mind the 30,000 adverse reactions from these vaccines, never mind the deaths from them, one child who didn't receive the vaccine, they'll then say, well, died. Well, clearly, if we had only given the vaccine, never mind all the children who die from it, but they'd call you a murderer. Why isn't Rick Perry a murderer? I'm just asking. Why isn't he a murderer? If you're a politician and you mandate something that kills people, aren't you a murderer? Isn't that your job not to do that? Haven't you then instructed people what to do, made it mandatory for children? Aren't you responsible? If not a murderer, aren't you at least complicit?
Well, but he's authorized because he was in the executive branch, which executes right, the laws. Now, eventually, there was such an outrage by the population that he backed down on the forceful mandate, and then they tried to get it passed in the House and in the state House. And we'll see if we can get some audio up on that. But we're looking at this TV newscast where they're actually showing these Democrats and Republicans voting four times in the House.
Right.
They're ding, ding, ding. These others, there's one person in an area of four legislators there. They're not there. So they just turn around and press the yes button on three other in addition to their own vote. I mean, the corruption in favor of Big Pharma in Texas is not unusual. I mean, it's happening in every state. But this is the kind of thing that's going to lead to the next American revolution. You know, it's not enough that we have to nullify the federal government within the state. The people are going to have to nullify the state government at this point.
Well, this is an interesting video that you brought up. It's an interesting news report that a local affiliate did where they actually got video, not from C-SPAN, not from an approved source, but from somebody sitting in the third floor gallery, looking down and just taking probably a video phone or some such thing, watching these state representatives, state congresspeople, turning around and hitting the vote button over and over again, I don't know, like kids at a
They're
carnival.
A video game.
Yeah.
But I'll do his. She's not there. Let's hit her. I don't know if the ones that were absent are complicit. Maybe they all have this hey, I'll leave. You vote however you want. I'm not going to be around for this one. But, man, it seems like a criminal organization. And, of course, we speculate that, you know, most Congresses tend to be criminal in their behavior. But now you're witnessing it firsthand. But there's probably no criminal prosecution for a congressman voting three times on the same bill, is there?
Well, they did a report on this local affiliate, and I bet it never went past that. I mean, I'm sure that the next thing that came on was, Jumpy the water skiing squirrel, and everybody laughed and forgot. And to round out the news tonight, our moment of excitement, here is the water skiing squirrel. Right, and they show that, and everybody goes, okay, can't wait till Wheel of Fortune.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
This is the news culture that you don't even need a Tokyo Rose in this culture. You know, you just watch the regular news, and you could. Today, 10 people died in a horrific fire. Just be alarmed. Okay, 10 minutes into it, you get the actual news. Like, near the end, they'll throw you a special report. Oh, I don't want to. Oh, life's so horrible. Make me laugh, Jerry Seinfeld. Make me laugh.
Make okay, me. Poof, you're a laugh, right? There's even more on this because, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't remind everybody about the very natural and safe options that you have because they'll frighten people. Oh, my gosh, I don't want my daughter to get a cervical cancer. It's like, okay, who does, right? We're all in that boat. But the question is, do you risk death in the prevention of that which could be easily managed? In fact, more stats, and I have this linked up through Sane Vax. This is on the AmericanChronicle.com, this article. Number one, when detected, HPV infection is easily managed and rarely proceeds to cancer. I'd say really never in the sense that there's causation, but they acknowledge that. And, of course, we acknowledge that it mostly clears up. Number two, very few women with HPV develop cervical cancer. Again, to Liam's point, it's like, you have it, but who gets it? Well, the 50-year-old crack-addicted prostitutes. But oh, never mind that. How about HPV infections are only one of several risk factors, again, for cervical cancer. Again, non-confirmed, but there's a lot of things it could be. Why the HPV shot? Why the cervical cancer, they're calling it, shot wrongly so.
And let me say, if somebody's gotten it, I'm sure it's terrible, and I doubt it's all crack addicted prostitutes, but you're taking my line. The point is they tend to look at high STD populations when they do these studies. They tend to go to STD clinics, and they tend to look at populations with endemic problems. Now, if you're an outlier, you really are an outlier in this group. And these things are clearly problematic, multifactorial. The slow virus theory that should have died right in infancy in the 70s managed to create entire industries around itself. The AIDS industry is based on the notion of a slow virus when clearly it's toxicological poisoning, environmental poisoning over in Africa, drug poisoning, pharmaceutical poisoning over here. This is just a secondary wave of that. In a society that really has no rules, mm-hmm. in the post-Age of Aquarius society, everybody panics and they go to the priests of the air and say, I'm afraid my daughter's being exposed to all this crap on TV. There are no rules in her school. There are all kinds of terrible things happening. Protect her. You throw her to the priest. These aren't priests. These are not going to say some sort of blessing over her. These aren't shaman. They're going to inject her with something they cooked out of a guinea pig ovary. I swear, mm-hmm. that's where this stuff comes from. Anyway, interrupted.
No, that was appropriate. I mean, and remember I was saying earlier that most of the time it clears. Here, the science is clear. At least 50% of sexually active men and women acquire the so-called genital HPV infection at some point in their lives. 90%, they're saying. They're admitting 90% of the time the virus clears up on its own within 2 years without incident, no intervention, no antibiotics, because antibiotics don't even work in the viral realm, even though some docs don't get that memo. Number five here on this list, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who I call the Centers for Disease Creation and Promotion. Their records show that 3,976 women died from cervical cancer in the U.S. in 2006. Now, a few more facts that Merck doesn't want you to know, or they just kind of plain forgot. If a woman who has been exposed to vaccine-relevant HPV submits to HPV vaccines, her risk of developing precancerous lesions may increase by 44.6% post Gardasil and 32.5% post Cervarix. That's the GSK, which means that you're actually increasing the likelihood of precancerous lesions developing if you get the shots that they're saying are protecting your little girls. Oh, It's horrific. It's horrific. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, parades as, well, in my heart, I'm Rick Perry, and we just got to do this anyway, because my heart says so. In September 2008, FDA closing statement on Gardasil, it was noted that 73.3% of girls in the clinical trials developed new medical conditions post-vaccination. 17 girls died during the clinical trials. Listen, if they were testing an herb and one of the subjects stubbed their toe, completely unrelated to the herb, they would shut the trial down and ban the herb from planet Earth. 17 girls died during the clinical trial, and it gets approved, and Rick Perry gets to say, in my heart, I know it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I talked about throwing the word murderer around. You give somebody an herb or a natural remedy, and they don't do very well. You've suddenly killed them or made them very sick, but you kill 17 girls trying something that you then foist and force on a population of, willfully illiterate, the American population, just willfully unwilling to read about this kind of stuff, willfully ignorant, willfully dancing with the stars, willfully bacheloretted. What about just taking the time to read this? What about our responsibility for informed consent? But I don't think it's wrong to say that these people are murderers. If you've killed a lot of people and you don't say, whoops, we probably shouldn't give this to everybody, too many problems, you're then a murderer. You know, you may be able to justify it. Maybe in your own head you can say we're helping more than we're hurting, but you're not actually. If you're not helping more than you're hurting, you're just killing people.
Sure, sure.
Can't we just say that? Pharmaceutical companies kill people.
For a living?
It's a killing.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we got to take a break here. Liam Schaff, my guest, and I'm grateful to have him on board. We're having a great conversation about a very horrific topic. When we come back, I'm going to throw out a couple of ideas, because we always got to, you know, turn some positive perspectives on this, so that if you should be still in fear, should you find yourself in fear, you will not have to resort to the criminal interventions by those with the hearts of Rick Perry or others. But you're going to have to stick around for that. Also, addiction. Is it in the brain? Is it elsewhere? We'll talk about addiction as well this hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Check it out, robertscottbell.com. Coming right back with more of Liam Schaff after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool. There you can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today, or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
I didn't want to leave you hanging on the HPV issue without some options and solutions for those that still are frightened. You know, there's always this part of it. And Liam Sheff joins me, still with me here in the studio. It's great to have him on board, the conspiracy realist here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. But there's always the people that say, okay, I get it. It's dangerous. It's toxic. It's not what they told me. But now I'm scared because I thought I was under the illusion that it did something. Now that it does nothing or worse than nothing, I don't know what to do now. I'm, you know, scared. And it's kind of like in my history when I came to that same place in conclusion when I realized, oh, my God, the doctors, the experts, the priestcraft, whatever, they really don't know what they're doing. And it's worse than that. That which they do claim to know actually harms you and could kill you and does, in some cases, kill children. So what happens when you head to that point? I mean, you're in that middle ground. What is that place between heaven and earth, right? You know, the waiting place.
Purgatory.
You're in this medical purgatory, and you're waiting for somebody to come and open the pearly gates, or you know, do I have to go down to the hells of vaccination bowels? Where do we go from here? And, of course, that's part of what the Robert Scott Bell Show is about, is getting us beyond that to the solution, to get to the point where, okay, I got options now. It's not about, I have to be afraid, be very afraid, okay? There's a legitimate place for fear to keep you from jumping off the cliff with the rocky bottom 100 feet below. Okay, it's a little scary to go. Okay, makes sense. Can hold you back from doing something. But the kind of fear I'm talking about is the irrational fear placed in you by the pharmaceutical industrial complex and their minions to fear you into a very preventive or treatment technique that could end up with you at the bottom of that rocky cliff that you were afraid to jump off of. So they convince you that you can go a different route, but you end up in the same place you were scared to go. But they make it sound really good, don't they? And so here we go, pointing out, oh my gosh, it's the same rocky cliff, and some people get ticked off. Robert, why'd you do that? I was living in perfect harmony and bliss and ignorance. And no, you listen to this show, you're not in blissful ignorance. That's not something we do here, not something that Mike Adams does with Natural News, certainly not something that Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist, does with the things he's written about, and we're going to go back into his history, and it's like almost the history of a modern American, I don't know what to say, medicine and vaccination research. I mean, it's a fascinating and sordid and scary tale that we're going to reveal a little later, Liam. But I don't know if I'm even making sense now with the analogy, but it's the visual that's just coming to me.
So what can worried parents do if they want to protect their children from... Well, I'd say the thing to do is always read and research. So when they talk about something like human papillomavirus, the first thing to understand is that it's a commonly occurring, natural to the species, non-toxic, non-carcinogenic, barely discernible entity. It's mostly been manufactured as an idea now to scare you into yet another reason to do things to your children. The reality underneath it all is more, forgive me, but psychosocial, psychosexual, that thing that we talked about a little bit before, that we're a society without borders, boundaries, constraints. Kids go to school and they're exposed to levels of information and titillation and imagery that we didn't have ever growing up. And I'm I'm 40. I'm the electronic age, right? Video games came about when I was 10. But we still didn't have an internet to go and... I mean, if we wanted to look at something really off color, we had to go and sneak into somebody's dad's bedroom and get under the mattress, pull out Playboy, which seems entirely tame by comparison. But parents now don't have that restraint. Everything is always available to their kids. So they say, protect my children. I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid. If you worship this priestcraft, as Robert calls it, the scientism, the church of the priests of the Church of Science, you're going to not protect your children. You're going to expose them to toxic chemicals and entire histories that you may not be aware of. Most important thing to do, let me throw it back to Robert. What's the most important? I'll leave it as an open question. Most important thing to do for children's health?
Well, you come back to nutrition, hygiene, sanitation, all the basics for restoring or maintaining the healthy environment of a developing child. That's learning about the world around him or her and interacting with that world. The aseptic type of living has been shown by legitimate science to be much more harmful and dangerous than living with a little bit of microbial interaction, because our very guts contain more microbes, more bacteria than we have cells in our body. And it is that reliance upon it's the interface, if you will, with the outside world. We carry, I don't know if we talked about this, we may have, Liam, this idea that the alimentary canal is literally the outside world. It's like carrying the soil in which we grow our food, teeming with bacteria. All of these things that are necessary to provide for life, because it makes the nutrients available for the plants in which we then consume. And in the case of our own intestines, the bacteria allow us to break down the very things and make them available for the body to be healthy and happy. And yet much of the vaccine damage corrupts that, as well as the antibiotics that follow it up. Now, if you talk about cervical health, we talk about that's a terrain. It's an area of the body that has an interface with the inside and outside world. There's mucous membranes, epithelial tissue. Keeping that healthy, that, of course, is coming back to probiotics, making sure we have cultured foods, foods that contain the healthy bacteria, or in the case of the supplemental industry, utilizing the probiotics and prebiotics that are there to help sustain that healthy terrain or balance that is thrown out of balance when we subsist on processed foods, high fructose corn syrup, genetic modifications, additives, preservatives, flavorings, pesticides, coloring, you name it. All of those things that are pretty much part and parcel to the Western child's upbringing. And if we should succumb to, let's say, a viral or bacterial or fungal infection, we should look to the world of nature, botanicals and metals. I've talked extensively about the role of silver and silver hydrosol, used locally, orally as well, to address it and stop a virus from replicating, if that's what your concern is, but also to restore integrity to tissue. We've talked about the use of homeopathic medicine that addresses those symptoms, including the nozodes, which are homeopathic preparations of actually killed so-called pathogenic material, whether it be from vaccines or whether it be viral, bacterial, or fungal in origin, in a form that can no longer create or cause a disturbance or disease, but would sensitize the system energetically safely without harming. Now, I'm not saying that that's necessary to do that, because they're acknowledged in science. 90%, if not more, of the people with this HPV clear it of their own accord just by being basically healthy. Not even being perfect, just basically healthy. So imagine doing even more or better what we can do to prevent or reverse these so-called diseases which are basically evidence of inflammation or inflammatory process in the body trying to restore integrity to tissue or elsewhere.
And if people think this, and that sounds very reasonable to me, I think it's important to remember that everything that comes out of the alternative health world is at first ridiculed by the pharmaceutical machine, the mainstream. It's a big joke. And then subtly, quietly, it's embraced somewhere in the medical journals, and then suddenly there's a product for it. So now the big deal in the grocery stores, in the dairy aisle, and all over the place is probiotics. Well, those of us 100 years before me, but when I was studying my macrobiotics in 1990-something, the idea was, well, the beneficial bacteria from the miso are good for you. The beneficial bacteria from the pressed salads are good for your intestine. You have more bacteria in your intestine than you have cells in your body, so on and so forth. So this was the idea. It was nowhere on the supermarket shelves. You had sterilized, pasteurized this, that, with a lot of sugar added. Slowly, right? It was ridiculed. Oh, you eat that stuff. Oh, you're some kind of weird hippie, some so-and-so, granola crunchy something or other. Well, no, I'm not eating sugary granola that rots in my intestines, actually. I'm talking about a totally different thing. The mainstream now has million-dollar industries. What's it called? Activa. You know, Jamie Lee Curtis promoting a probiotic yogurt. Probiotic yogurt? Yogurt's probiotic.
Yeah, and at the same time, FDA attacking that product for making claims that it could, you know, promote health or prevent certain things. And we come back to the Rick Perrys of the world who have bought into the pharmaceutical line, is that if it's natural, we cannot allow you to know anything about it, even if it's supported by science or substantiated, because it would likely impact negatively on the sales and the acceptance of those so-called drugs and vaccines, which we have shown time and time again here are the most dangerous things from the most dangerous profession on planet Earth, perhaps even more so than the military-industrial complex, because at least with them, there's no illusion about what they're there to do. With the medical-industrial complex, it's the illusion, we're here to help you, we're here to protect you, we're here to prevent disease. But the reality is, and HPV Gardasil is a small example, albeit an important one, is foisted upon many, and those in the political field, all they have to do is say, well, in my heart, I did the right, I believe what I was doing. I could have been wrong, but in my heart, so it's excused that I, you know, I'm a murderer, so but I can be excused because in my heart I knew it was the right thing to do.
Well, Heil Perry, I guess, is the phrase that should go out. We should be just happy that we have such a great leader as this who's willing to take marching orders from on high and tell your children how to live and possibly how to die. So look, let's snap out of it. Let's wake up. You can't go to sleep on this stuff. You have to talk to the people that you actually know in your life. It's not enough. It's wonderful to listen to it on the radio or the internet, but you got to go talk to people about it. As strange as it seems, every time I go into the grocery store and there's one of those signs for autism, donate to autism, I say, you know what I think causes this? I think injecting kids with all those heavy metals. What heavy metals? The ones in the vaccines. Oh, are there heavy? Yeah, there actually are. They're heavy metals. Did you know that? No, I didn't know that. Short conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Sow the seed. Talk about it.
Yeah, right to the point. Right to the point. And when we look at Rick Perry's of the world or any of the establishment candidates, and that includes Barack Obama, we get what we deserve if we actually support these people, if we actually think they're going to do something different that got, you know, the things that got us where we are, the crisis that is now America. If you think those establishment candidates are going to do something else, there's a delusion we might not be able to help you with. And in fact, it might be evidence of a brain disorder. No, I kid you not. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about that, the science supporting this idea that people addicted to politicians who promise them different things and never deliver might be, in fact, a brain disorder, not a behavioral disorder. So when we come back from this break, we'll bring that up and more right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Check it out, robertscottbell.com. Also, remember the Prepper Podcast Radio Network as well, carrying the Robert Scott Bell Show in addition to the Natural News Radio Network. Liam Sheff hangs out for some more today. We got lots to do here on the United States and world of what do we call it? Health Talk Radio? Yeah.
Health Freedom.
Yes, Health Freedom is yours. We'll be right back after this.
If you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the Natural Health Community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
All right, so we round out this hour on addiction. Are we addicted to politicians who promise us things and don't deliver? Or maybe they promise us things and they do, but either way, it's disastrous. And why don't we wake up and see through it? Why don't our fellow Americans wake up and see through the lies, see through the heartfelt Rick Perry-isms of mandating HPV shots for 9-year-old girls in Texas? And what would he do as president if he was willing to do that? But it felt right in my heart. Well, what if he's also addicted to the power that comes with being the head of the executive branch? Do we have anybody unwilling to use or wield that power against the people? Well, we do believe there is an example of that. But the story here, and it's coming through Yahoo News, it covered originally through Live Science and their staff members, a story here, addiction now defined as brain disorder, not behavior problem. Now, I've covered the story of addiction a number of times here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, including a really great Healing Revolution Friday many weeks ago now with Dr. Frank King. But that's why you've got all the archives there through Natural News Radio, so you can give a listen to those from the past. But addiction, very real thing. Now they want to call it a brain disorder. And this is according to the American Society of Addiction Medicine. Now, the reality of this is that if they can redefine it, then, of course, it becomes much more easy, if you will, to be supported. What do they call that? The what manual they call it?
The DSM.
The DSM. That's it. Thank you. The DSM. Basically, this is a manual that decides what disorders are, and when they are decided as such, then in the codes, the insurance codes, they can actually bill for the treatment, which is always drugs. Drugs, drugs, and more drugs. And the psychiatric profession evidently didn't have enough things to drugs, so now they've got addiction. So more SSRI drugs, expanding their use off-label, now becomes on-label or momentarily. Perhaps they have drugs in the waiting for addiction. But in either case, nothing to do with nutrition, nothing to do with heavy metal toxicity, nothing to do with real emotional trauma. It is all now just a brain disorder for which we have the drugs.
Man, I thought my childhood was rough, and in some ways it was. But if I had grown up, I would have been in a canister by age 12 or 13. They would have drugged me every way I turned. One for not being happy enough. One for being too active or too excited, or too, what do they call it when you're jittery sometimes after eating chocolate cookie cereal in the morning, mm-hmm. and being fed sugar cubes. What is that? The little speck. So they would have drugged me probably to death, or at least into some sort of, I don't know, comatose walking zombie state where the only way I could have survived it was to find a dead, quiet place inside and play video games all the time to sort of nurture it. Yeah. I don't know how kids are going to survive anymore. You can be addicted. You can be addicted. I was addicted. Robert, I'm going to tell a sad story, true story.
Oh, no.
I was addicted to sugar.
I
know it sounds absurd, but my grandmother fed me white sugar cubes when I was growing up, and I developed a taste for this stuff. And nobody talked about sugar addiction, but I didn't feel okay. I didn't feel okay unless I had the stuff coming into me, and I would seek out like a junkie Fruity Pebbles and Cocoa Puffs, and I'd have to have the cereal.
Who knew you had an actual brain disorder, right?
Well, look, I'm not going to say that there aren't components of the mind. Giving me a drug at that point
They're not saying mind. I mean, they're honestly equating this as a physiological brain disorder. And, you know, this is kind of like, you know, when we grew up, Liam, did you remember Ritalin when you were growing up?
No.
No, it wasn't around. There was no attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. What? Kids just suddenly sprouted this? It was a normal thing to be a kid and be hyperactive and have attention deficit. That was what we called childhood. And they got it reclassified as a disorder that could be drugged. That's what's going on here, Liam. It's true. We know there are mental and emotional aspects to addiction. Hey, there may be brain damage, one out of what, but it's still not evidence of a drug deficiency.
No, there may be synaptic pathways that are activated. There may be brain chemistry that relates to something going on. Where? In the stomach? In the liver? Why isn't addiction a liver problem?
And it is.
Of course it is.
It is.
This is a whole body problem. It's a spirit problem. It's a life challenge problem. You know, for me to quit sugar was a process of a conscious awareness that I was too dependent on a substance to raise my lowered mood or some such thing. And it, frankly, was a challenge, but I wouldn't have done better with a drug. I found natural foods that were sweet, and I slowly weaned myself off of one. Now, you can't do that with heroin. You can't do it with cocaine. But you can get help and get off of these things and rebuild your liver. Most important thing, rebuild your liver and the tissue in your body so you're not constantly excreting the poisons that you already took in. That's one of the old macrobiotic principles. You're going to get rid of the poisons that you put in. So
yes,
the getting rid of process is this long thing.
Detoxification, critical.
And you have to develop some other thing. You have to develop something called patience and a philosophical disposition. This is what not being drugged gives you. Hmm. You have to become patient with problems. My God, there's no drug for that. What are they going to do?
Mm. Indeed, and this is something here, if you think I'm exaggerating, listen to this. They say the new definition also describes addiction as a primary disease, meaning that it's not the result of other causes. We just explained that it is. It is absolutely the result of other causes. But no, the priestcraft of the Church of Biological Psychiatric Mysticism now have redefined it. So they say it's not the result of other causes such as emotional or psychiatric problems. And like cardiovascular disease and diabetes, addiction is recognized as a chronic disease. So it must be treated, managed, and monitored over a person's lifetime. This is the lifelong way that they get people hooked on drugs. This is exactly it right there. That's why diabetes is the growth, the biggest growth media. They want addiction to go into that category because they cannot cure it. They won't cure it. They won't allow you to cure it. Even though we know taking 100 micrograms of a whole food form of chromium, the glucose tolerance factor molecule, can reverse a lot of the diabetes, but also reverse a lot of the addiction associated with the pancreatic abnormalities, the cravings, the hypoglycemia, the starving of the higher functions of the brain because we can't get the sugar into the brain and the nervous system. And I used to use lycopodium and iris, two wonderful homeopathic remedies to address this pancreatic issue of hypoglycemia. And we would find that it would help people to overcome addictions because it's liver related. Because the more I think about this, the more disgusted I am with this place in society that people like Rick Perry and other politicians and the people of America have placed these people on pedestals, these pharmaceutical nut jobs. I'm sorry to say it that way, because I used to say, you know, we're health nuts. No, you guys are drug nuts.
They are drug nuts. I think a lot of them would probably be happy to be called it. Well, we're so far in advance of where we used to be, thanks to all the drugs. Where are we? We've got a population of women, unfortunately, bursting at the seams with cancers. We've got men bursting at the seams with cancers. And we've got children with so many behavioral, psychological, and weight problems. Why? Because we lived in the most technologically, pharmaceutically advanced society on Earth. That's why.
Well, and we'll find out more reasons why after this break. We're going to take a quick breather here. Liam Sheff's going to be back in studio. We're going to go back into a sordid history that explains a lot of these things as well. Liam's lived it, survived it, I should say. And he's come out on the other side as the conspiracy realist. More powerful healing on the Robert Scott Bell Show after this break, and this is the place where I just simply remind you every hour that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Well, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Yes, I know. Those of you who want to believe Rick Perry will say, well, Robert, you talked about what he did back way back when, but now he's running for president. He was confronted the other day, and he admitted he made a mistake. Listen, I am not giving quarter to someone who's willing to say, oh, in my heart, I know it's the right thing to do to intoxicate and inject children. There's no recovery in my mind from that. That is an attack and assault on children, the sanctity of the family, for goodness sake. Anybody that's given quarters to this guy, Rick Perry at this point, is not thinking clearly. You can't tell, oh, well, I found religion now that I'm running for president. I made a mistake. No, sorry. If you can't do your diligence to find out what the deal is behind, I mean, how come you could, these ladies at SaneVax could find this stuff? It was on the public record about human papillomavirus vaccine, Merck's Gardasil. You're telling me the governor of Texas couldn't figure it out, couldn't have an advisor to warn him? Hey, governor, looks like this thing's got some problems. How many people died in the clinical trials here? And you're going to mandate that for the little girls of Texas, Rick Perry? No. No quarter for you or anybody. By executive fiat, you're going to get executive order. You're not even going to allow the legislature to vote on that. Not that they should ever violate the sanctity of family via democracy either. I mean, that's another thing. Rick Perry, you believe in the family? No, not with your executive order. You know full well that most families don't know that they can opt out. Oh, well, there was an exemption. Yeah. How many of them know that? Because the propaganda campaign in the school system in conjunction with Big Pharma, all of it plays up. Oh, you got to now get your kids shot up with Merck's HPV shot every year before they get into school. You know that. No, Rick Perry, you have no quarter here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. I didn't intend to go into more of that this hour, and I'm going to leave that in just a moment. But I realize some of you will say, well, you're behind the times, and you're not keeping up with what Rick Perry said now. Yeah, here's the same guy who says, I am a cross between Michelle Bachmann and Ron Paul, and yet you worked for the Al Gore campaign back in 88. No, this stinks to high heavens. This is complete phoniness on the part of the political establishment. And this goes beyond Republican, Democrat, Hegelian dialectic. This is the Bilderberg Group saying, I am anointing you, Rick Perry. You're the savior to keep the dogs off of us. We can't have Ron Paul speaking what he's speaking. Or even a little bit of Michelle Bachmann, even though she's not really doing a service because she's part of the political establishment, whether she pretends to be not, she still is, based on some of the things that she's done. Anyway, enough of presidential politics. Sincere apologies if that was a little too much, but I had to get that off my chest. And it is called The Robert Scott Bell Show. That's why I'm here. That's what we're doing. And we're going to do some more with Liam Sheff in a little while, but I've got a couple of more stories I want to cover. First and foremost, into the arena of procreation, right? Let's bring kids into a world that acknowledges the beauty and wonder and majesty of creation, and let's not assault them with needles. Unless they happen to be acupuncture needles. Because so many women now dealing with infertility. Men too, but infertile women now singing what? The praises of not in vitro fertilization, but acupuncture. Story here, I've got it linked up through USA Today under Your Life. Claudia Pinto, the Tennessean, is covering this. Brooke Aiken underwent 3 rounds of artificial insemination at $3,000 a pop. She took fertility drugs that made her feel moody. Yet, after 3.5 years of trying, she was still not pregnant. Brooke is only 29 years of age, and she is part of a growing number of women at younger and younger ages that are suffering with varying degrees of infertility, which should be a warning sign to us all as to where this is heading. She's out of Hermitage, Tennessee. She says her doctor recommended that she then undergo in vitro fertilization, which only costs 5 times the artificial insemination at $15,000. $15,000 per episode. But after some initial skepticism, Aiken decided to put modern medicine aside and try the ancient practice of acupuncture. Oh my gosh, going back to thousands of year old systems of healing. She says this, I was pregnant by the 3rd month. It was awesome. And she gave birth to her son Hudson in October. He's my little acupuncture baby. Now the estimates are as high as what? Now 10% of all women unable to become pregnant after a year of trying. And it's a problem of special interest to the growing number of women who have waited until their late 30s and early 40s to have children. Now, there should be no problem with women in their 30s and 40s having children if they're healthy. But we've got a series of children becoming adults that are raised on artificial foods. They're vaccinated. All of the things we talk about here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. But this movement back to nature, back to acupuncture, very exciting to hear and read about, and it's covered in one of the old media journals, The Rags, amazing. Spurred in part by reports of celebrities such as Mariah Carey, Celine Dion, and Khloe Kardashian. I've heard of the Kardashians. I don't know who Khloe is. But they tried it. More and more of these women are turning to acupuncture. I've had it. Have you? Have you had acupuncture? Let me know. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Curious as to any of the Robert Scott Bell Show listeners have ever tried acupuncture, how it worked for them. I have utilized it. I have a dear friend who's very well schooled in it, and really is pretty much painless unless you hit a liver point, and you're not putting it in your liver. It could be a liver point in your hand or your foot. And if your liver is congested, oh my gosh, it's going to hurt. But it's not the pinprick hurt. It's just something else that goes on there. But it shows you the connectedness of the body meridians, the neurological points, the communication tools of the body, how they reference out to different areas of the body. And there are maps. There are meridians. There are places that can explain things that modern medicine will never in a million years understand because of their perspective that the body is all about a bunch of chemicals, all to be drugged. No energy allowed, unless we're drugging you to give you energy by stimulating your adrenals artificially through caffeine induction. But that's another story. Now, some women are turning to acupuncture after not being able to conceive naturally, of course. I wish they did it as a first choice rather than a last, but some do it in conjunction with in vitro fertilization or other medical treatments or the last-ditch effort after everything else has not worked. Now, in this story, they always like to say how untested this is. Oh, never mind, acupuncture's been at it for thousands of years, but it's untested. It doesn't count. We didn't test it. So they call them anecdotal stories. They're promising, but we can't really believe that she got pregnant because of acupuncture. Dr. Esther Eisenberg, professor of obstetrics and gynecology at Vanderbilt, Vandy, says there hasn't been a large comprehensive study looking at whether acupuncture really helps women become pregnant. See, this is where evidence-based medicine is so not based on evidence. Remember, was it yesterday we were talking about this with Dr. Bitar on Advanced Medicine Monday? It is not evidence-based medicine. When thousands of years of recorded history of successful use of acupuncture for any number of thousands of things is not evidence, then there is no evidence that can ever be gotten. But that's what they want you to believe. We don't know the answer. They admit they're stupid, but they want you to remain stupid with them. They don't want you to try this stuff and believe it actually works. Eisenberg, this OBGYN from Vandy, says she's more likely to recommend that women do things that have been proven to increase the likelihood of pregnancy, such as exercising, maintaining a healthy body weight, and staying away from cigarettes. Oh, the same old that it takes a medical doctor to figure that out. Thank you, Dr. Eisenberg, you numbnut. She did note that women who want to try acupuncture should rest assured that it isn't going to hurt them. Oh, thank you for that ringing non-endorsement. Oh, you're not going to get hurt. Well, it might hurt your pocketbook, she joked. Right? Don't you love this? Oh, we're just going to ridicule anybody that dares stray outside the artificial insemination reality of in vitro fertilization. But Aiken says that the relatively low cost of acupuncture compared to IVF is actually one of the reasons she decided to try it. It might hurt your pocketbook, says Eisenberg. Whoa, what of the $3,000 tried three times? $9,000 that she blew on the first version didn't work. Did that hurt her pocketbook, Eisenberg? No. She could go to an acupuncturist for $100, couple hundred, who knows, but hardly fractions of a penny on the dollar compared to the allopathic monopoly medicine treatments. Costs typically ranged, as she said, $60 to $120 per treatment. That's nothing. Aiken underwent weekly treatment for 3 months before getting pregnant. She says IVF was so invasive and so costly, I just wasn't ready for it. That's why she decided, well, I'll save the $15,000 and try an ancient practice. And she was surprised that she looked forward to getting pricked by the needles every week. Isn't that funny? Here's the guy, I'm talking to you right now, Robert Scott Bell, that's been hit by so many needles in his young life, he should run for the hills anytime they're coming at him. But acupuncture different. They're not injecting you with toxic medicaments. It is not the same kind. People that are freaked out by acupuncture needles, you go to a good acupuncturist, you know, you might feel a little tick, you know, nothing. Not a problem. She was worried it hurt, but they didn't. They're so thin she could barely feel it. That is very true. She says, she goes on to say, it's kind of like being in a spa. Adding that afterwards she felt a lot healthier than she did taking synthetic fertility drugs. See, this is the growing movement that is the rarely heralded side of healing that is happening in America. Because there's a lot of problems with modern medicine and their treatments of female-specific diseases. We have polycystic ovarian syndrome, leading cause of infertility. We know here the implication of nutritional deficiencies, the implication of plastifiers and BPA and other estrogenic mimicking compounds, pesticides and other things. We know that the body is desperately trying to detoxify from all of these endocrine disrupting chemicals as well as other synthetics, and that the body and the female body utilizes the uterus when not pregnant to throw off, slough off not only the monocellular lining of the uterus, but many toxic poisons that it finds an easier escape route. And in this case, the ovaries can get hammered. And there we see this polycystic ovarian syndrome being at least partially contributed to by these toxins as well as the resulting nutrient deficiencies. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, most cases of female infertility are caused by problems with ovulation. Ovulation. Problems with ovulation. Well, what causes the problems of ovulation? The problems with ovulation. They don't ever get to that. They just say, well, you could have irregular or absent periods. Then we got a Nashville Healing Arts acupuncturist. His name is Mark Sprintz. He explains that acupuncture is thought to improve the blood supply to the ovaries, which may improve their quality and function. Sprintz says acupuncture has been used to treat such fertility problems for more than 2,000 years. But what is it? Eisenberg said, it's not proven. There's no evidence. 2,000 years of evidence doesn't count to doctors, medical degreed professionals that wouldn't see evidence if it bit them on the aspirin or if it poked them with a needle from an acupuncturist. But when we people hear of the Chloes and the Mariahs, right? The famous celebrities are doing it, so let us do it now. The celebrity worship culture. How sad is that we have to wait for a celebrity to be willing to try these things? Well, that's the nature of celebrity worship in our current culture. I'm going to take a break now, but I'm probably going to have to check in with the celebrities to see if it's okay to continue my radio show. Because until a celebrity does this, I don't know. It might not be right. There might not be enough evidence to continue. So let's take a break. And we're going to be joined again by my dear friend Liam Sheff, a conspiracy realist. We're going to talk about the history, the lineage of how this happened. And in fact, a lot of this runs in the bloodlines of his own family. Shocking truths revealed with Liam Sheff after the break.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers of Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, I've checked with my celebrity friends, and they said it was okay. Robert, you can keep doing your show. You are approved by celebrities. I'm not going to name them because it might ruin their career to know that they associate with the likes of me.
Yo, Robert, keep doing the radio show.
Okay, thank you. Who was that?
Didn't you see him?
No, I missed it. He was running so fast. Must have been an athlete, athlete.
It was Rocky.
Okay. Well, we got a lot more healing to do here, and I've got Liam Sheff joining me just a second. In fact, the 800 number, which is a toll-free number, it's actually 866. So make sure you do that. 939-BELL, 866-939-2355. You're listening through naturalnewsradio.com. You enter your email address there at naturalnewsradio.com, and you will get daily email alerts on the Robert Scott Bell Show with all the links you need. RobertScottBell.com. Also, Prepper Podcast Network has picked up the show at PrepperPodcast.com. So thank you, everybody, as the show that basically acknowledges the existence and pumps it up health, freedom, and liberty. This is it, the Robert Scott Bell Show. Liam Schaff joins me, the conspiracy realist. Many people, including myself, want to know how you became the conspiracy realist. So much of what you've done, Liam, is to really shine the light on what claims to be science, but in fact is not really founded in legitimate science. And it's a fascinating journey. Certainly I've learned some of it off the air, but maybe on the air I'd like you to relate what you can about your family, because you come from what some would call almost medical PhD type royalty in the establishment scientific circles.
Yeah, aristocracy at least. I don't know who would be royalty. I guess Robert Gallo is royalty, and then you come down from that plateau. Yeah, a lot of this was only known to me a little bit growing up. It wasn't discussed because it was still being lived. I grew up in a family of doctors and researchers. My father's side is a number of doctors, but mostly just people coming over from Lithuania. Jewish family, not practicing Judaism anymore. That's not the... I mean, there are doctors on that family, and my dad, for all of his problems, is a bright guy and got his PhD at Johns Hopkins and all that kind of stuff before he stopped paying child support and went on to show me just how corrupt people could be. But it's my mother's side of the family that's more interesting, I think. My mother came from a mother and father who were PhD researchers in cancer retrovirology, cancer virology. I mean, her mother and her father. All of her brothers are in the sciences, physicians. Her grandfather, my great-grandfather, in fact, was a very well-known doctor. Now, I didn't really know this growing up. They called him Winter, which sort of was a double lie. His name was Winternitz, but they called
him... A Jewish name that he couldn't reveal, I guess, or because of the circles he was operating in, he couldn't be Jewish at the time.
Well, people knew it, but they called him Winter anyway, sort of, I guess, saying, we know you're not one of us, but you're one of us. Now, this was... Milton C. Winternitz became the first Jewish president of Yale Medical School. That's not something I knew growing up. I have to tell you honestly, I didn't know that growing up.
Well, why is that significant? Honestly, I mean, people today, young people, might not know why that's a big deal.
Jews weren't allowed to be anything. You could be a banker, but you couldn't work in medicine, law. You were kept out. This was the 20s, 30s, and of course it all came to a head in the 40s in a very big way. But Yale was very anti-Semitic, and Milton Winternitz was met with a lot of anti-Semitism, but he was fairly anti, or at least not pro-Semitic. He wasn't Jewish by practice, but perhaps there's something cultural there, argumentative, highly intellectual.
No, but I mean, this is a major deal. If someone in your family has broken I know it's not the color barrier of Jackie
glass
Robinson
ceiling.
And Basil, but the ceiling, the glass ceiling. That's huge at Yale. I mean, this is where the secret societies are. This is where the Bush Yaleys are, Skull and Bones are. I mean, you're talking high-level stuff, and then he goes on into cancer retrovirology, which then led to the whole HIV/AIDS thing.
Well, you're mixing...
But I mean, I know I'm leaping a little bit across,
We're mixing grandfathers, but he's the great-grandfather. My grandfather was in the cancer retrovirology. My great-grandfather, Milton C. Winternitz, I never met. I mean, he was dead long before I got around. The first Jewish president of Yale Medical School had a number of children, had a wife, Helen Watson, who died while his children were growing up after what's confusing in the family, a long strep infection, something. Anyway, the myth is it's a long strep infection or perhaps a long kidney problem. And the idea was there were no antibiotics, so she died. But of course, I know that in this family of doctors and scientists, it's possible that they just didn't try a number of things because it wasn't de rigueur or wasn't allowed in the sciences. Milton Winternitz was a reformer at Yale. He put into production what's called the Yale system, whatever that means. I don't know if I'd be a fan of the man. He was clearly argumentative and interesting. He was polarizing. People either loved him or hated him. He apparently taught his classes and was kind of either a tyrant, and you thought him a tyrant, or was so persuasive and shocking in his teaching methods, you loved him. But it was very much like that. I didn't know a thing about him until the last couple of years when I met a second cousin who's also she's a well-known writer for being the daughter of John Cheever. Now, John Cheever's in the family by marriage. Now, that's my great That's my grandmother's sister's husband. So all the stories about John Cheever's miserable life in the suburbs, drinking and being closeted and all this other kind of stuff, that's by marriage. But we have the same great-grandfather. So first Jewish president of Yale Medical School, all kept away. Winter. That's the only name. Not Winternet. It's not you come from a Jewish background.
Right.
Which would have been interesting. So this guy's a reformer. He's the son of a pediatrician, of a Jewish Czech doctor from who emigrated to Baltimore.
Wow.
Right? I didn't even know, but I'm born in Baltimore. It seems like a total accident now because there nobody else. Accidents after accidents. I didn't grow up knowing this. I grew up with the Journal of the American Medical Association on the coffee table. My father was gone. He taught me that even Harvard-trained doctors can abandon their children. Good lesson for me to know.
Oi.
Oi is
Oy.
Right.
Yeah.
And I read the New England Journal of Medicine and Journal of the American, or I looked at them, and so I became aware of the concept of modern medicine and how it changed. And we would go to holidays, and there was the family, Jane, Milton's daughter, married to Robert C. Mellers, very, very, very bright, very conservative guy who worked at the National Cancer Institute, was on good terms, I guess, with Robert Gallo and the rest of the cancer retro, but people chasing a bug to cause cancer because that's what Richard Nixon wanted.
Right.
As a big victory after all the other failures. So I'm sitting as a child at this table, and the three uncles are there. John, who's, I'll just mention him because he's the most well-known. He's more of a public figure because he's a major AIDS researcher in a totally fraudulent field. I make no bones about that. And this is before he became the AIDS researcher. They're young men. They're arguing. They're in and out of medical school and in the beginning of their practice, and they're just fighting and fighting and fighting for dad's attention and their dad's attention, and their mom, my grandmother, is at the other end getting a little bit plastered on wine, and grandfather's at the other end nodding, saying, yes, Janie, okay.
Wow.
And the men are fighting it out. My mother's struggling for space in the conversation, and I learned a lot about how medicine worked. I learned that they were seeking the approval of the paterfamilias, my grandfather, Robert, who, you know, published with his wife, published in the major journals, worked on the Sabin.
The polio stuff now.
Yeah, worked on the Sabin. This is the
legacy.
Jeez,
we got cancer retrovirology. We've got the polio's now thrown into this. Yale. I mean, this is like a family where, Liam, if they knew how you were going to turn out, what you were going to uncover,
they would have tried to kill me.
Well, I think on one level, knowing what I know about your history, I think they sort of knew and on some level tried to.
I had a very inhospitable childhood. It's amazing that I lived through some of it. We were not close. They were not kind. And I was put into a lot of danger by people who should have known better, put with child abusers over and over again. My father having left my mother. My mother, this is the irony in the family. Oh, I should say, at that dinner, at that holiday table, though, what I learned was the brothers would fight for the attention of their father. And they all rose in their fields, especially John. And they would seek the attention. And I noticed that every holiday, or even 6 weeks later, if it was between Thanksgiving and Christmas, the arguments would change. And the argument would be, oh, you still believe that old stuff.
Where you got the facts change.
Facts change. Changed all the time.
Not everybody grows up with that kind of information. Facts change. What do you mean facts change? Facts change. Well, you've watched it happen with all these high-level PhD research scientists getting grants from the government, wherever else they were, to keep the gravy train rolling. I don't know how much gravy was happening back then, but certainly they were prestigious in their own right. They made a living.
Right, right. You know, they weren't. My uncle, John, I think, is the only one who's showy. And we're not friends, by the way. We're not on any kind of speaking. I've never had a fight with him. It's not a close family, or at least I'm not close with him.
Sure.
The problem, and maybe I'll save this for, maybe we'll come to a commercial for the next segment, but the bitter irony was, this isn't lost on me, that my mother married a Jewish man, and apparently the family, at least at that point,
they were not happy with that
in the late 60s.
Yeah.
You know, and the irony is, of course, they came from a Jewish family, at least ancestrally, but it wasn't quite okay that my mother did, and so when the divorce happened, I was always on the outside looking in. So I was watching more than participate. Maybe if they had thrown their arms around me and said, we want you to become just like us.
Right. Well, there was something that clearly happened that set you on a different path, because those of you who have been to Liam's site, liamchef.com, and also reducetheburden.org, will see how Liam definitely reveals and goes beyond the superficiality of these studies and picks them apart and shows how they are not really rooted in valid science. And that is where he talks in terms, and I've adopted some of that language of talking about it, science as religion or scientism. And these kind of things, they come from a backstory that is fascinating, to say the least. And part of that backstory is just now being discovered by Liam. And we're here for the first time revealing it in media, the so-called aristocratic background within the sciences, so-called sciences. We're going to take a quick break here and come right back, because we've got a lot more fascinating things to uncover here as it led to the modern era of HIV and AIDS research, for which Liam is very famous or infamous, depending on the circles you run in, for revealing things that shall not be revealed, being to the point where he is claimed to be one of the leading AIDS denialists, or what I call HIV denialists, but we'll get into that as well. This is stuff you don't hear anywhere else in media, but you're hearing it right now on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us, 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Many people have heard our ads on the benefits of truly undamaged whey protein, but they still do not believe there can be such an immense difference between heated whey and unheated whey. So I'd like to direct your attention to the comparative photos of two cows. The website address is too long to say on the radio, so please go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com and download the free report on the miraculous health benefits of unheated whey. In this report is a website address that shows the comparative photos of two cows. The cow-fed cooked milk looks sick compared to the cow-fed raw milk, which looks healthy. Seeing is believing. I was never a fan of protein powders in the past until I was introduced to One World Whey. Now I know that the special means of processing whey to preserve what nature put into it has never been achieved until now. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Ryan.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's
Scott,
a brave
Scott,
and a decent Scott. Man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
If you want to know what it means to be the black sheep of the family, we're uncovering the history of Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist, to understand what makes him tick. Not really. I mean, really kind of get to the sense of what was the process of discovery that led him to write, become an investigative journalist, and reveal things that the old media would never, ever reveal. In fact, they would lose all of their commercials if they did so. Because the fact of the matter is, as we know, if you watch anything in the old media, TV or even radio, a lot of the commercials are all about promoting the latest and greatest drug or the government complex in bed with modern pharmaceutical medicine. The fundraising that goes on as taxpayer dollars are utilized to investigate, I would call them research rat holes, but they would call them research slush funds that never end. And that includes the inevitability of what was to become the next war on cancer after Nixon declared it. And this was the war on AIDS and the so-called retrovirus that we acknowledge here has never actually been caught in the act of doing anything. But Liam, continue with the story. And if people, like you said, they may go, why are you doing this with Liam now? Why is he? I mean, I didn't twist your arm to reveal this stuff. I know some of this is painful for you, too, to acknowledge. And it's a process of discovery. But I feel it's important to really reveal some of the history here because it's the untold history and it affects a lot of people on planet Earth.
Oh, why am I telling? I'm just an open person, and I feel the process of discovery is either its own punishment or own reward, but I think that's why we're here. There's some things I'm private about, but I don't know. I'm trying to understand my own background. I don't have... If I have an agenda, it's to talk more about it more freely. I want these discussions of medicine, histories of the failure of of Western medicine, where applicable. Yeah, I'll take the successes, too. We're great at emergency medicine. I'm very well aware of that. But long-term critical care, I grew up listening to eight-hour conversations about the constant chronic failures of everything that was happening in oncology or cancer research, everything that was happening in chemotherapy, constant pain, constant failure, constant pain, constant failure, and the doubts. I remember when my uncle got into the AIDS research thing, and again, I'm not claiming closeness. We're not close. We don't talk. I haven't spoken to him for a number of years at this point, and last time it was, hi, how are you doing? Good, fine. It's just not that kind of family, at least not with me.
Yeah.
Not for any reason. I never did anything to alienate anybody that I'm aware of. I never called anybody out. This is the most sort of aggressive, out loud thing I've ever said. But I remember when he first got into this thing, I remember the statement that he made about AIDS. And he said, well, the funny thing, and he's saying, well, Dad, he was answering my grandfather, well, how are you liking your new field of your new research? Oh, John's into the HIV. You're doing the thing that's affecting the gay men. Oh, you're doing that. Oh, you must be very brave. Hmm. There's the attitude, right? The Yaley attitude.
Yeah.
That kind of above it all. And the thing he said, and I thought about it years later as I got into writing about it. I mean, it was like a decade and change before I even thought about writing about it because it wasn't on my mind. I was doing other things. I studied foreign languages. I traveled half of the world. I tried to figure out some things about myself. Anyway, he said, the thing is, we know what HIV does. We just don't know how it does it. We know what it does. We just don't know how it does it. And I sat there. I remember sitting there going, I want to be as smart as they are, so I'm going to try to make sense of this.
Yes.
And I thought about it, and I went, ow.
Wait. That hurt, right? You try to think about it. That's going to cause something a gasket to blow. We know what it does, but
we just don't know.
We don't
how it does it. Now, if you're talking about we know the mouse is getting into the house and eating the cheese because we see the cheese eaten everywhere, and then we see mouse poop everywhere. So you can figure it's a mouse.
Sure, reasonable.
We don't know exactly where the mouse hole is, but we'll find it. No. We're saying that there's something that you can't purify or find under the microscope in a purified way that is supposedly fragile in all different sizes that kill. It's supposed to kill T cells. And they're saying, it's like saying, I know that this key fits in the lock perfectly, but for the life of us, even with electron microscopes, we just can't tell you how this key, which is machined to this lock, turns. Please. But I just struggled with it years and years. A few years later, I got into macrobiotics. I studied with a teacher, and sort of my mentor at that time, my early 20s in Philadelphia, Jim Cowla. And he was cooking for a group of guys. It was the AIDS and cancer group, or HIV and cancer group. And I met all these guys, wonderful guys, who were supposedly HIV positive. It was a new experience for me. And for the most part, except for the guys who had taken AZT, they were healthy. And I asked, and I said, Jim, how is this possible? And he was very considerate about it, to put it that way. And he said, well, I think it's more of a multifactorial problem. He didn't overburden me with the politics and the fraud and Robert Gallo. He said, I think it's more multifactorial. And at that point, I'd known people who had gotten better from cancers with mixed treatments, including natural, some including natural and radiation, but some, you know, just natural. And I knew all these guys who were healthy, and their biggest complaint was they had given up coffee and sugar. Meanwhile, there were die-ins in the street for people being poisoned with AZT, but these guys were just coming and eating their brown rice and azuki beans. So, I thought, okay, AIDS is complex, multifactorial, and you can go on and take good care of yourself, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I must add as well that you mentioned you were good at languages, and you are. But one of the languages that most people would say, okay, I could study French, I could study Spanish, but I can't study peer-reviewed published journals and read them and make heads nor tails out of them. You know, that would be a reasonable thing that you can't. So they say only the PhDs, only the doctors can do that. But you found you could read that language and be able to have conversations with people at the PhD level and school them on the very papers that they are reading and they're not getting.
Oh, I could crush them. I was amazed, but I started reluctantly. I read it, and I thought, well, this is going to be hard. And I read it, and I went, oh, okay, I see what they're saying. And you have to look up a couple words that aren't familiar, a couple words of pathology or the way that they talk about a swollen lymph node. They have the Latin name. You go, oh, okay, I remember that from Latin. Or you get the sense of it. I had Latin in school for a couple years, a gift of the gods. They'll tell you to study Latin when you're growing up. It really is. People complained, but it was great. At least it was great for me. Maybe that tells a lot about me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you come in. I came into this stuff, and these papers came into my hand. I went, okay, I'll read them. And you go through it, and you go, oh, I see where they're lying. And you know, I found that it was an ability I had to go, oh, I see. They did, you know, they start with a proposition or a supposition. They don't ask really if it's true. They just build from there to an inevitable conclusion, which is never really supported by the first inference, which is an inference. I mean, they
sure.
don't.
But again, if you have, let's say, medical writers, because there are medical journalists, right? They write, you know, about medicine, about the latest breakthroughs. They don't seem to question these things. They just kind of write what they're given, and they seem to more or less parrot press releases as such, and they're not really doing any kind of true investigation. It's kind of a lost art. But you never got the memo that the art was lost, because you just went right in and dove.
I did it, again, years after studying with Jim and having those experiences and going back to school, tutoring piano and French and some Italian and doing other things that were just really good for my heart and mind. I mean, to play piano every day was good for sort of restructuring everything that had been knocked around in my childhood. You feel that ancient architecture of sound, you know, I perceived it as sort of 12, 30-degree angles making the circle of fifths, and I would play, you know, through this sort of sacred geometry every day, and it was good for my soul. It was very healing after a pretty traumatic childhood, which we won't get into all the details, but a lot of trouble, and it was very important to me. And I was into politics, and I was quasi-liberal, quasi-critical, and eventually somebody told me about the AIDS thing, and it was a guy I was playing piano with, and he said, I was a musician friend of mine, and we were at a dinner in Venice, California, and he was just sort of smacking on his food, and I was just feeling very irritable. And I said, well, I'm very worried about the AIDS in Africa that I hear about all the time. I said this.
Yes.
I said this, and I was aware that you could live and be healthy and choose to keep your immune system strong. And he said to me, with his mouth full, going, well, there's all a big fraud. There's no AIDS in Africa. Robert Gallo, look it up, da-da-da-da-da.
Well, that must have been a little bit of a smack to the head if you heard. You heard it. Obviously, you're telling me. How did you receive it?
I was furious. I said, I was in my late 20s, and in your late 20s, you do this thing, or maybe everybody does it, but at some point in your 20s, at some point in your life, you do this thing where you say, somebody made me mad. I'm writing them out. I'm not talking to them again. They're crazy.
Well, I mean, that's like, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home.
So I said, but we were friends. He and I were friends. And I said, no, I'm not going to take my ball. I'm going to crush him. I'm going to prove him wrong.
Look at you, man.
In every way I can. I'm going to go do this research. He's telling me there's no AIDS in Africa. I went and I did the research. I took weeks, and I read and I read and I read, maybe longer, for that just that first blush. And I came back and I said, you know, the way you said that wasn't really helpful. There are sick people in Africa. What you're telling me, though, is that there have always been sick people in Africa, and we put a brand name on it in 1985.
You picked that out that succinctly. I mean, that's an amazing.
Well, the terms I'm using now, I've developed.
Sure,
over
sure. But you realized, I looked at Africa, I saw people dying throughout generations and generations, and we've just relabeled it.
Well, I was walking in the footsteps of Neville Hodgkinson and Christian Fiala, mm-hmm. Dave Rasnick writing on the topic, and a number of people doing really great work over there had already broadcast the message. I went, I read it, I read their statistics, I read the material.
Well, by the way, you mentioned Dave Rasnick, and I've interviewed him a number of times over the years here on the show, and he was working with protease inhibiting drugs. You have another relative that was also working on the protease drugs.
Yeah, that's my uncle John.
Okay.
John seemed...
Horrific drugs. I mean, the thing that we do to the patients, absolutely horrendous and horrific. So, again, we see, again, tying through the family, which is fascinating on top of what you uncovered here. The fact is you came across these people that are called the dissidents, right? What they called, at the time, they probably weren't called dissidents.
No, they were dissidents then. The term denialist hadn't been applied to people who actually asked questions about a medical paradigm. They hadn't been compared to Holocaust denialists for saying, why are we giving pregnant women drugs which peel their skin off? That little bit of PR hadn't been invented at the time I got it. Yeah. It came in soon after. And then I became, I guess, I didn't mean to. I just asked the same questions.
Hmm.
So I guess I became one of them. Even an important one.
Yeah, even one that has written extraordinarily and uncovered some horrific things, but to the great benefit of all those who have learned and have taken a different route in regards to restoring their immune system. We're continuing on with the conspiracy realist, the background, the history of Liam Sheff here this hour to explain why he came to the conclusions he did, and hopefully it encouraged you to do more research in that regard as well to confirm it for yourself so that you no longer will ever be again duped by those with piled higher and deeper behind their name. Okay, that's what we're doing here on the Robert Scott Bell Show today. 866-939-BELL, robertscottbell.com. I have all the links up there. We're coming right back, wrapping it up. One more segment with Liam Sheff after this.
Giving the pharmaceutical industry cardiac arrest.
Clear.
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it. Because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
You know, Liam, it's interesting to note what I know of you is that you didn't in your history go out with vindictiveness to go out to destroy anybody. In fact, you know, we've talked off the air about your great reluctance to really revisit or even visit for the first time a lot of your family history as it relates to the lot of things you uncovered and wrote about and revealed that could be perceived as very harmful to the so-called research profession. Because, you know, let's be honest, in many ways, they're pharma whores. And I don't say that lightly, because the things that they do to people, to kids, to animals, and the things you've written on are quite horrific. That they do that for money makes them less honorable than those that sell their own body for money in a different way. So it's not something you take lightly that you're doing, or maybe that you even take great pleasure in. But I think it seems to be you were almost called to do. You have this talent. You needed to write about it and reveal it.
Yeah, it was like that. It was a very strange, odd spiritual experience. Whatever that sounds like to people. I was really. I mean, I've been doing this for 10 years, and I've never mentioned this. So, if you imagine growing up in a family where it would be incorrect to tell anybody who your great grandfather was, you can understand the very perverse situation that I'm in. You know, or where the identity of your great-grandfather wasn't really revealed to you, or the religion of, and then it was revealed to you to be the religion of your father, who wasn't a great guy, but who was ridiculed by your family for being the religion that he was, that they also happened to share of to some large degree, but had abandoned. Now, that you can blame Judaism for its very, again, perverse laws about how things are passed through in the Orthodoxy through the mother. I think that's all nonsense anyway. We're cultural animals.
I think, you know, it's interesting, it comes to my mind now, is that in a sense they were the first denialists about certain parts of their history or past, and then one day you would grow to be called a denialist, which is a horrific derogatory term, because we talk about people that deny the existence of the reality of something that happened called the Holocaust.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then they apply that to people who simply question the causation hypothesis of AIDS, saying, well, we are not convinced that HIV has maybe anything to do with it, or if he does, you said, multifactorial. But the fact that you even say that is enough to be called a denialist.
Well, that's all. That's their insanity and their propaganda. They're so threatened by people rocking their boat that they have to call you the most vicious thing. It's galling and disgusting to me, because the Holocaust was enacted by scientists. It was a medical scientific project. Nobody seems to understand that. The German Holocaust against the Jews and the Gypsies and blacks and gays was a scientific labeling project. Using Zyklon B was a scientific project. Our pharmaceutical companies today were involved in that. Now, I didn't get into writing about... I got in being... If I wasn't naive about... I was naive about a lot of this stuff. I just felt that it was wrong to give tests to people that were so multifactorial and then to give them very poisonous drugs. That was the breadth of my conviction in the beginning, and then I saw them doing things to kids. I went out of my way to talk to mainstream AIDS doctors. I would write them. I've talked to some of them. I would call them. After a while, they just wouldn't talk to you if you had any critical questions. But in the beginning, some would. They would fall apart under questioning. I'd say, wait a second, why can't you answer my questions? I went to people in my family.
Yeah.
I went to my mother. I went to one of my uncles. I went to my grandfather before he passed away, and I asked him about some of this. He was impossible to talk to. He got very defensive, and he said, oh, Bob, and he was referring to Robert Gallo, did get into some trouble back then. He wouldn't elaborate as to what he meant about Robert Gallo, who essentially faked the whole paradigm, getting into trouble back then. But I was very... Look, I was respectful and dutiful as I could be. And I think the only reason I've decided to talk about this more openly is my grandfather passed away a couple of years ago, and something about the weight of that paterfamilias, that big stone right on the back, is sort of gone, and I don't feel like he's looking down at me angrily or saying you shouldn't. It's like, I had my time, you tell your truth, we'll see how it all comes out.
Yeah.
You know, I just want informed consent in medicine. It's not really more complicated. I just want choice.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. I did on the air with Dr. Bittar. Real informed consent, we're all about that. That's a freeing reality, but of course it's not been practiced in a long time in modern medicine, starting from Nazi medicine in the 20th century. You've covered extensively and written extensively, and you've appeared in the film House of Numbers talking about the HIV tests and the fallacy of them, and even beyond the fallacy, the dangerousness and the outright destruction of them. And you also mentioned about the attacks in World War II Nazi Germany being experiments, if you will, and those experiments continue on into the 20th and 21st century now with the targeting, for instance, of gays with these so-called HIV tests, which will result in, weirdly enough, that subgroup or subpopulation begging not only to be tested, but begging to be drugged. I mean, it really was different than what happened in World War II, where the people were going reluctantly as prisoners. Now, somehow, the pharmaceutical construct convinced the people to beg for their own demise via poison.
Well, there are prisoners and there are prisoners, and the Jews who were prisoners in the Polish ghetto convinced themselves, or at least some of them. Some of them ran into the woods and killed Nazis, and I hope that I would have been among them. But some convinced themselves, well, what's the worst that could happen? They're not going to kill us all. We'll move to this corner of the ghetto. We'll move to this corner of the ghetto. We'll move to this corner. Well, their laws, they won't just kill us. Well, they were wrong. And history, we're supposed to remember that.
Very, very important thing to remember. You know, the whole idea of never forget when you talk about the Yad Vashem, as they say, or the Holocaust, is what you're bringing out right now. You know, if you're in the ghetto and say, well, what are they going to do next? They're not going to kill us, right? You said. And they did. And they're doing it today. The same people in different incarnations, however you want to call it, new constructs, the dispersion of IG Farben from Nazi Germany is in existence today. What you're doing is systematically revealing it with their own science used against them.
But they're better at it today. You know, it was too bold and too bald to just put people into boxes and gas them to death. Now they use mental constructs or social constructs. So gay men who have been excluded, beaten up, ghettoized,
put in class, subhuman status.
Well, they're a social group that is relegated to a lower position, is what I'm trying to say, in the society. Yeah. So they're ghettoized, and they've been ghettoized, and for a long time homosexuality was considered to be a mental disease. We talked about mental diseases. It was considered to be a mental disease, and they would have tried to convert you or...
Well, now they'll drug you. I mean, that's basically what we covered last hour.
Right, but, you know, at least in progressive society, with all of its failings, they'll allow gay people to be gay. But when gay people got sick, after the excesses of the gay sexual revolution, which, remember, is gay men with no obstacle to sex or pharmaceuticals or antibiotics, having as much of all of those things as they could for 10 years, got sick. The right said, well, God, this is what they said, God hates fags. I'm sorry for that language, but that language appeared on placards. And the left... The right wing said that, and the left said, no, that's not it. It's a scientific problem. It must be a virus that affects the gay people. Hmm. Well, that's just like Freud's idea that there's something intrinsically wrong with being gay. So the gay population throws its arms around this. It's sort of a bulwark against the right saying God wants you to die. They're saying, no, we must have something wrong with us. We'll take the drugs better than facing the people who really want to exterminate us.
Wow.
It's a quid pro quo. And so I'm very...
That's the untold psychology of what happened in this regard. And again, it's the continuity of Nazi medicine in the modern context, and, you know, trying to understand why would people willingly subject themselves to these drugs. You've just revealed something I don't think many people have ever considered.
We live inside of tribal societies. If you're on the outside, you're going to play that role of the punished one, the scapegoat, all the rest of that kind of stuff. And so that's why I'm in favor of general gay rights and gay marriage and this and that, because we're all people, and I don't really care what adults do with each other. It should be none of our business. We should throw our arms around each other and be happy for all the peaceful people who want to make nice homes together. But for the gay population, they've got this terrible burden of having to get out from under the pharmaceutical approval. If you are willing to go get tested, then you can live in society. Well, the tests are fraudulent. And medical science will tell you that if you bother to go examine it.
And the good news in all of this is once you wake up and realize these things that Liam has discovered and written about and helped so many to see, you begin to realize by living differently, you can live healthily and you can recover from even immune deficiency. from whatever its cause. And, of course, I've been talking about that for years since, 1999 when I started in radio. Actually, before that, 1994 when I first appeared in radio and was met with a lot of derision by having a perspective that was different from the establishment. Liam Schaff, you are carrying the torch for, I guess, Ignaz Semmelweis to some degree, and those that would willingly stand against consensus but for scientific fact. As well as helping people indiscriminately to allow people to learn the truth and make fully informed decisions. That's what we're all about here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And I appreciate your willingness to reveal some things never before revealed right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I hope I haven't offended anyone terribly. I hope people will appreciate the information.
Well, this is all about health, freedom, and liberty, and that's why we cover subjects not covered anywhere else in media. My gratitude to all of you for listening in. My gratitude once again for Liam Schaff, also for Natural News Radio, and Mike Adams for allowing this platform to get out there to help those in need. And that's what we do, because the power to heal is yours. Tomorrow, Dr. Nick Gonzalez returns to the Robert Scott Bell Show. That's going to rock.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.